Thank you for joining us this morning as we just have this celebration of baptism. You know, I even think about the fact that we were thinking we might be doing this a little bit and sprinkling in the rain. And like I said in the email and the text, if you got it, in one sense, that's a good thing because baptisms are supposed to be wet. And you guys can feel united to them if you were wet from. So every time a little bit of wind goes down and you get some rain here during this time, just think about how you're unified with the nine people that are going to be baptized later on this morning. As a church, we desire to build disciples. Specifically, our mission statement is to build disciples who magnify, mature, minister, and multiply. And when we think about that discipleship process, what we see in the Holy Scriptures is that the normative, the general way that this process is set up, that it starts with baptism, with the pronouncement of separating from the world and uniting to the body of Christ, of physically showing what happened in an invisible sense in your heart when someone believes and receives Jesus. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning before we bring up our individuals to be baptized. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we thank you for an opportunity again to meet here at the park. We thank you that you did open up a dry window for us here to fellowship, to hear your word, and then to have a little bit of a picnic. God, I thank you for all that you've done already and the things that you are doing, especially in the lives of these nine people who are going to make a commitment to you through the process of baptism. Be with us here at the lake, river, and speak further through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, talks about Jesus' baptism. It goes like this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And I read that, and we're actually not going to break down that passage, but I just wanted to start with that passage this morning as we think of baptism, because it is significant that Jesus starts his ministry. This is the very beginning of his ministry. The next thing that happens is he goes out in the desert, and he's tempted, and then he goes out in his official public ministry. Jesus' ministry begins with baptism. And really, his time on earth ends talking about baptism, because in Matthew 28:18, he says, go, therefore, and make disciples. He gives a mission to his disciples and to the church to make more disciples through baptism and teaching all that he had taught them. Baptism must be a pretty important thing. It's a serious thing. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit before we bring our people up. You know, when I came to SCFC over 14 years ago now, it was a time actually a little bit similar to what's going on right now in our church, where a lot of babies were being born. We got a lot of young kids. And the joke going around, and I don't know how many times Elaine and I heard it as we were kind of getting enfolded into the church and I was starting as the youth pastor here, was just this joke like, don't drink the water. There's something in the water. Don't drink from that water fountain, because there's something in the water. You drink from the water, you're gonna get pregnant. Now, Elena's homeschooled, but even she knew that that's not how you get pregnant. No, I'm just, but someone said, poor Elena. but I thought about that a little bit, and how there is something in the water. There's something in the waters of baptism that is very important. The fact that Jesus started his ministry, that shows how crucial this baptism thing really is. I mean, if there's anybody that has walked this earth that didn't need to be baptized, it was Jesus. He'd never sinned. He never needed to make a claim of repentance. Yet he submitted to the waters of baptism as well. This is an important thing. There's something in the water. And so this morning, before we bring our baptism people up, what I want to do is just draw out three reasons why we love baptism at Stillwater Evangelical Free Church. Now, you know that I love baptism because I talk about it a lot up here. I demonstrated, I think, my love for that when 5 years ago, it wasn't to the date, but about 5 years ago, we had our baptism service here, and you didn't know it at the time, but Elena was going into labor with our first child, and I told her, hold on, you got to wait, because I want to baptize Dion, and that's true, although it's a little bit of an overstatement, because we knew it was going to be a long time, that it wasn't going to happen until a little bit later, but she was in the hospital at the time when we were doing baptisms, and by the way, and baptizing Dion, he is like, you know, 6'9" or something like that. And it's also the one time that we had to go deeper into the water because he's so tall. And as I was baptizing, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but as we was going back up, I realized that I wasn't touching the bottom anymore. And I sort of started floating down. So I almost missed the birth of my first child because someone was going to have to go down to Prescott and pick me up at the beach. But why do we as a church love baptism? Three reasons. First, we love baptisms here because baptisms are a gift from God to the church. I mean, who doesn't love a great gift? Again, kind of following on with this theme of my children, but I can still remember the first Christmas that we have where Miles was old enough to really know what was going on, to really appreciate the gifts that he was giving. And no joke, it literally took us 4 hours to get through that Christmas because every present he opened, he just wanted to play with for a half hour and we didn't want to stop that excitement and that joy that he had. We all love getting great gifts. Well, the scriptures tell us that one of the great gifts that God gives to the church is celebrating baptisms. We love baptisms at SCFC because it is a great gift that he gives to the church. Matthew 28:18-20, is Jesus giving his mission statement to the church. He says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The church exists to make disciples. Jesus gives the church the privilege, the gift, of being a disciple factory. The mission of SCFC reflects that command and that privilege. As we said before, our vision statement is to make disciples who magnify, mature, minister, and multiply for Jesus. Jesus not only tells the church to make disciples, he actually sort of gives us in that passage a blueprint on how we're supposed to do it. He says, baptize them and then teach them everything I've commanded you. We love baptism here. This is one of God's gifts to the church. We also love baptism because it unites us as a church. Now, if you go around, you find that we might like different foods, listen to different music, come from different parts of the world. We might have different skin colors. We might vote for different people. We might cheer for different teams. We might speak different languages. But the church is united in one baptism. United into one body under one God and Father. Baptism shows the world, and honestly it reminds us as the church, that although Christians have many differences that would cause divisions in most other areas of life and divisions between most other people in life, the church is united by something greater. We're united by this banner of a relationship with God through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Our pledge in the baptismal waters, what we're going to do here in a few moments, is one of a statement of unification that we all are under the same banner, that we are all a family of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. In fact, if you were to open up and just read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you're going to find one of the most messed up churches, most divisive churches in all of the New Testament. Maybe one of the most divisive and messed up churches ever. I mean, they had leadership and sexual sin. They had all these things going on. Paul's correcting them, but one of the ways that he corrects that church in Corinth is saying, remember your baptism. Remember that although you have all these differences and all these divisions, you are united as one in Christ. See, remembering our baptism unites us because it reminds us that we are all sinners saved by grace through faith. And we love baptism here because it puts us in our place. It reminds us who we are and it unites us as a body. Baptism is a gift to the church because it's encouraging. You will hear some of the stories in a minute, but I'll just tell you, I have been tremendously encouraged in the last 2 weeks hearing about how God has been working through our church and in the lives of individual believers. We don't have time to go through full testimonies as they stand here today, but especially afterwards at the picnic, to take time and just grab some of these individuals and hear how God has brought them to this point. It's such an encouraging thing. It ties into what we were talking about last week from the book of Habakkuk. It's easy for us to look out in the world at times and be a little discouraged. And even to say something like, you know, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this evil to persist on our earth? But just like God says to Habakkuk in chapter 1, he says, open your eyes. Look and see, I am doing great things. And one of the things that baptism does in hearing these testimonies is that we see where God is working in people's lives. We love baptism at SCFC because it's so encouraging. It reminds us that God is always working. Next, we love baptism at SCFC because it is a gift to all believers. So it's a gift to the church, but it's also a gift to individual believers. And there's so much to say here, but I just want to list and briefly talk about three ways that baptism is a glorious gift to believers. First of all, it makes your public pronouncement of faith simple. I read just recently that the fear of public speaking is said to be at 75% or over. 75% of people on this earth are afraid to come up in front of a group and speak at all. So God, I believe, made us, and God understands this. And so what he does is he makes your pronouncement of faith really, really easy. He says you don't have to sit down and worry about how you can make a thrilling 25-minute testimony to share in front of other people. He says you don't have to worry about having to come up and flawlessly share what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. God designed baptism as a way to make a public profession in front of people without really even using words. It's about saying how you died to sin as you went under the water, and you were raised again through faith in Jesus to a new life, to be a new creation. Now, if you were to open up your Bibles and you would look at a passage like Matthew 10, 32 and 33, you might find that to be kind of a scary passage. It says this, this is Jesus speaking. He says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Okay, that sounds good. But then in 33, he says, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That's a scary picture to think of Jesus denying you before the Father. I never knew you. But it's not a scary passage when you consider the gift of baptism to a believer. Baptism is God's intended way to announce your faith in Jesus Christ. By being baptized, you are acknowledging before the church and declaring to the world that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. You are telling what happened in your heart when you repented and chose Him as your Lord. Secondly, it is a gift because you will never forget what Jesus did for you. You'll never forget how to share the gospel. I love telling, especially our younger believers about this when they come to be baptized, to say, you know, if your friends ask you, how do you become a Christian? Or what does it mean to be a Christian? All you have to do is think back to what your baptism symbolized. That when you went under the water, it was a time that symbolized when you admitted your sin and that you were supposed to enter the grave for that sin. That you enter the waters of judgment. But that because of what Jesus did, you have been raised again into new life. Raised again to a new creation because of your repentance and faith in Him. What baptism symbolizes is a great way to remember what the gospel is. It's a gift. In these turbulent times of shifting identities. Now, these days, our culture tells us that in order to find who you really are, you need to dig down deep. You need to reach down deep within yourself. Our world says that you alone can know and decide who you really are. Our culture tells, especially young people, that it is their responsibility to find out who they are, that it rests exclusively with them, that they must sort through their muddled desires and emotions to determine their identities and to declare it to the world. And I think about that, and it's a tremendously frightening thing for me. And really, I feel a great sense of compassion for teens these days. That is a heavy weight to carry, to think that you have to somehow dig down and sort through all the emotions you're going through as a teenager and find who you really are. I don't know how I would have fared, you know, growing up in this culture with that constant pressure to define and redefine oneself. Especially as a teenager, at a stage of life when, you know, I'll speak for myself, that I really was too emotional and impetuous to be making any significant decisions, let alone ones about my identity or ones that would affect me for years to come. But baptism is a gift because it is an anchor in this world. Not because baptism itself does anything to save us, but because it reminds us of what happened when we made a decision to believe and receive Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come." You see, baptism reminds us of our true identity. We don't need to look within. We look without. We don't need to look deep down into our hearts and sort through our shifting emotions, but we look up to the heavens where Christ is seated. We go into the water to symbolize our death to our old life, to symbolize our separation from the world of sin. And then we are raised up as new creations in Jesus Christ. We're united with Him. Our identity is in Jesus. Baptism is our anchor in turbulent times. Finally, we love baptism at SCFC. Because we know that we have it right. That's a little bit of us pumping out our chest here, but I'm going to brag on our church a little bit. Let me be clear. I love being a pastor in the EFCA because our denomination and our statement of faith majors on the majors and minors on the minors. In other words, we have firm positions on things like the inerrancy of the Bible, the deity of Christ, the supremacy of the Scriptures, the sovereignty of God, salvation through faith alone. But there's also a ton of room in our denomination and in our church to have Christian liberty on what we would call secondary affairs. Stuff like the mode and age of baptism, the requirements for church membership, the expression of spiritual gifts. There's liberty in secondary theological doctrines such as Arminianism and Calvinism or positions on the end times. We have liberty. I love how the EFCA allows that room. What we would call non-essential doctrines of the faith. But when it comes to baptism, I love that our church is right on. We're right on, and I'll sum it up in three ways. There's a lot of threes if you've been catching that today. But SCFC has the progression right, we have the process right, and we have the philosophy right. First, we do the progression of baptism correctly. I heard this story recently, and I won't share what family or what child this was, but I'll just say it's a boy in our church, and this family was at a different church for an event, and the stage must have been, you know, open. It wasn't during a church service or something. And this boy saw what he was sure was a trampoline on the stage of the church. And, of course, as boys are prone to do, he wound up and just got, you know, got his legs filled with spring and jumped as hard and high as he could to get a great bounce on that trampoline that was on the stage. Of course, that trampoline was not a trampoline, but a baptistry, which he went right through the cover and into the water. And the family jokes about how he doesn't need to get baptized because he's already been baptized, right? It's kind of a joke in the family. But obviously, you know, it's a great illustration, it's a great story, because no thinking person would declare that that was an effective baptism for that child. You can't be baptized by accident. You can't trip and fall into a baptistry or into the river here and then all of a sudden, you know, be baptized. Baptism requires something to happen before it. It requires faith first. It requires understanding what baptism symbolizes. Now, there are churches and denominations out there that baptize infants. I understand the theological reasons why they do that. We don't have time to break it all down this morning. If you're interested in us talking about it, actually, Micah and I did a debate on that. I think we can still find it on the website. We did it for a Sunday school where we each took a position and debated that. But Scripture makes it clear in several places that the order is faith first, then baptism. That it is repent, believe, be baptized. Faith must precede baptism. Matter of fact, I've made the joke a few times. Honestly, I'm happy to baptize babies. Any family out here that if you want me to come and baptize your infant, I will absolutely do it. The only thing I require is that that baby can articulate their faith in Jesus Christ to me before I do it. Right? Then I'm happy to baptize them. I love doing baptism at SEFC because we get the progression right. Matter of fact, all the people will call up, have sat down with either myself or Micah, and have clearly articulated their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I love doing baptisms at SEFC also because we get the process right, meaning we perform baptism by immersion, not by sprinkling. We started off by reading Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And you think, like, well, why did Jesus have to come to John? Shouldn't John have went to Jesus? But no, John was baptizing in that specific place. John 3:3 says, because the water was plentiful there. Now, you don't need much water to sprinkle. You know, John could have just had a jug if sprinkling was okay, and he could have went around baptizing people, but he had to stay in a certain place because he needed a place where there was enough water to dunk people. Similarly, if you look to Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch, he hears the gospel proclaimed by Philip the evangelist. He repents and believes in Jesus on his journey, and they see going by enough water to baptize, enough water, so they go down into it and are baptized. The English word that you see in the Bible that we translate baptism is actually the Greek word baptizo that means to immerse. Now, there's times when sprinkling is fine, specifically when people have physical reasons why they can't enter the water. But the normative process from the Scriptures is baptism by immersion. We have it right. And finally, we have the philosophy right. Our church statement on baptism says that baptism displays but does not dispense salvation. I love talking through this with our younger kids, talking about the difference between a dispenser and a display. It's great right now because everywhere you go, right, there's like hand sanitizer dispensers where kids can go, and my kids love to just, you know, stick their hands under it and get way too much hand sanitizer, you know, all over them. There's soap dispensers everywhere right now. And so we see this picture, and the truth is some churches teach baptism as it is a dispenser of salvation. Right, you go up under those hand sanitizer, you stick your hands under, it squirts some sanitizer, you can rub your hands, and you're safe from the germs, right? Some churches sort of teach that baptism is this thing where you go to church, splash some water on, and boom, you're safe from hell. That's not true. Baptism is not a salvation dispenser. Scriptures tell us that baptism isn't a dispenser of salvation, but instead a display of salvation. A visible display of an individual and an invisible truth that happens in a person's heart. Baptism is visible words. I love that phrase to think through. Baptism is visible words that expresses what God has done for everyone who has made a decision to believe and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Salvation is dispensed, if you want to use that term, at the very point when a believer submits himself to repentance and faith in Jesus. At that moment, they become part of the family of God. They are assured eternal life with God in the new heavens and the new earth. Baptism is something that follows that decision. It is an announcement. It is a physical display, a visual representation of the invisible thing that happened when you made that decision to believe and receive. When an individual is willingly placed under the waters of baptism, it symbolizes the death of the old person. It unites them with the death of Christ, entering into the waters of judgment. And as they are lifted back out of the water, it symbolizes rebirth, new life. They've been lifted out of the grave and become a new creation in Jesus Christ, promised eternal life with God in heaven. Baptism is the visible demonstration of the invisible action that all Christians experience when they repent and place their faith in Jesus.